words of hymn 366, verse 4. Only you know what we need, and you can turn even lackings into our best. Lord, help us accept your will, and to thank you for even the least. Amen. The closing services of these Vasa summer services are beginning. I will read from the fifth book of Moses, from chapter 32, verse 36, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants, when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. When I was thinking about this turn to serve, the enemy of the soul has also been present. This is the 38th sermon at these services. And when you have listened to the sermons of the brothers, they have gone through the whole Bible already many times. Can I believe my doubts and sins forgiven? I have been comforted that God, if he so sees fit to open his word, and with this prayer of faith, we begin to examine this text, and we ask for the mouth of the Lord. At these services, many have already said goodbye, and many are thinking that the services are ending, and they're feeling wistful, sad, and it feels bad to leave. It has been so good to be here. We have been served by the arrangers, and we are greatly thankful for this. God has blessed these services. Moses spoke to his people. He spoke a farewell sermon. He had led them for 40 years. And the border of the promised land was visible. And God announced that now his people could reach the promised land. But he said to Moses, "You cannot go there." Not because Moses had led his people poorly, but because there was such a strong spiritual picture. This has been revealed to us already at these services. But Moses was able to gaze upon that beautiful land from the border, which had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This fifth book of Moses is all part of Moses' farewell sermon, where he reviews their journey and how God had led them and had helped them in even impossible seeming matters. And during this wilderness journey, without water, without fields, without bread, we have heard about this also at these services, how God helped. The rock that followed them gave them water. And the apostle has written that this rock was Christ. Manna rained down from heaven, which we heard about this yesterday. They were able to gather it every day. Moses repeated very precisely the words of the law which he had received on Mount Sinai. And when he had gone through this portion, his manner of speaking changed. At the end, he sings a hymn. And this verse that we read was part of this hymn. And this farewell song which he sang, he sings with Joshua, son of Nun. And in this song, he brings forth how God is gracious and good, and how he is all-knowing and takes care of his own. This is such an important hymn that even the book of Revelations mentions it. There John writes how those who have been victorious and have not taken the mark of the beast they reach that shore, which was crystal clear, and they have the harps of God in their hands, and they sing the hymn of Moses, the servant of God, and the hymn of Christ. Moses begins this song. Give ear, O heaven, and I will speak. O hear, earth, the words of my mouth. Are these not beautiful words from this reader of the law? They are gracious words. Earlier, Moses reminded the people he said he placed an open door before them. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. It would seem that this would be an easy choice. but this life of human beings is like this. That we as children of God continuously need to make choices. Do we choose the blessing or the curse? Is some matter fitting for our good conscience, or will it harm us? Paul tells the children of God, in their life of faith and in their endeavor, he instructs them that you endeavor to travel in such a way that you do not offend the Greeks or the Jews or the kingdom of God. When in our daily life, in our home area, at our jobs, in school life, within our family, wherever we are traveling, there we want to endeavor to travel as children of God. We also remember, we try to remember, that we do not offend with our own choices. Not before self-righteousness, not before the travelers on the left side in this world, nor before the congregation of God. Why did Moses' hymn change? There is an important reason for this, which God announced to Moses in this fifth book. In its 18th chapter, Moses is given a promise that God will awaken a prophet from amongst his brothers, one who is like him, who speaks the revelation of the Lord, and hear you him. This is a revelation about the Christ Jesus. I think it was Friday when we heard through the brother about the first promise about the birth of Christ. Other promises of the Old Testament, and also Jacob's farewell speech when he blesses his sons. We heard about these. The rod shall not be taken away from Judah until the hero comes, in which the nations shall hold on to. This is a promise for us too, the children of God of today. Then they have looked at not only the nation of the promise, but also us, the Gentiles. This command to hear him is repeated again in the life of Jesus. When Jesus was on Mount of Transfiguration with his three disciples, there they were able to witness Jesus' transfiguration, Peter, John, and Jacob. these three were also able to witness Moses and Elijah, who discussed with Jesus. It is an amazing matter. These three, Peter, John, and Jacob, recognized Moses and Elijah. I can't explain this, but there was at least 1,500 years after Moses' death and the death of Elijah. And there were no media which would have recorded pictures of them as we have in our time. But it, as we sing in a Song of Zion, there in heaven, the dear ones will all meet each other. And there, the children of God will recognize one another, even though they had never seen each other here in time. This love is such a great matter. Then was heard a voice. This is my dear son. Hear him. This prophecy given to Moses was fulfilled at that time. And when Jesus sent the 70, two at a time, to bring the gospel forward on a mission trip, he gave them a text. When you come to a village or a city, say, peace be unto you. And if peace answers to you, then enter in. And preach that the kingdom of God has drawn nigh. Repent and believe the gospel. We heard in the brother's sermon before this about this kingdom of God and how it is always present at the believer's services and at these services. The gospel is tied to the kingdom of God. It is not something that is loose or separate. And then Jesus said that he who hears you hears me, but whoever looks you, he overlooks him who sent me, the Heavenly Father. How lovingly, and as is said in the old hymn, how the good shepherd allows his voice to change when he entices, calls the lost one back into the flock of God, into the kingdom of God. It is not by chance that in the kingdom of God we preach the gospel and we call people. The summer services are a great mission event, a touching event, already because of the arrangements. Many have been amazed by them. But we hope and pray that it would not remain just as amazement, but that you would also hear when God speaks through His Spirit and exhorts you to repent. If God wills, tomorrow afternoon, this will be an empty field. The children of God will have left to their own places. Oh, if only then the people of this area would continue to search for the gracious God, merciful God, and for that word, that good word which was preached here, in which was promised the forgiveness of sins. I have tried to listen carefully at these services to the sermons of the brothers, and I have somehow felt and understood probably also because of this motto. There have been sermons of consolation and encouragement, and we need it in this time. And so Moses also encouraged his people. He knew that he was about to leave them. He had experienced many things with these people, even very difficult things, so that he had even become angered. But still, it was a dear nation, a dear people. And he went so far to tell God that if you wipe the name of this nation away from the book of life, then wipe away my name also. But God told him that he will be gracious unto him who he will wants to, and he will be merciful to him who he wants to. And we have to leave it at that when we think of our dear relatives and friends who have been beset by the devil and have lost. There, it is in God's hands what their future is, and we can believe this way, and we can ask God that he would be graceful, merciful to them, no matter what language we use when we talk to them. If it is not God's will, the word will not open to them. But we should not load ourselves here even so much that we dry ourselves, so that our own faith would dry up and die. Why did these servants not have power? The Lord had helped them. If we think of life today it has been brought forth very clearly in these requests for prayers which have been read here and which have been brought to the heart of the Father. The believers need to meet in this life both good and evil. In Jeremiah's hymn of lamentation, he says, both good and evil come from the hand of the Lord. And we do not need to think that why have I come up against such bad things, but above all, we can pray that our heart would be affixed to the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. in addition to these temporal matters. We have already spoken at these services about what loads us down the most and what matter is the most troubling that we feel in our heart, that we have matters which have to be taken care of between God and before God and man. They are a burden and a load and a sin. Burdens are not sins, but they can cause us to become tired. And we try to solve our own problems in this state. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews, who has also sent this letter to a congregation where where people were tired. They did not have the power or the strength to believe freely and trustingly. But a situation had arisen where they were giving up their faith. The writer of the letter reminds them. First, he repeats familiar matters. About the believers in the Old Testament, beginning with Abel. And he briefly goes through the phases of their lives and what their faith was based on. And he always concludes that by faith they have been victorious. Even against the anger and the persecution of this world. And then he says, because we have such a large cloud of witnesses around us, then let us also put away all burdens and sin which beset us and make our journey slow. And let us run through patience this path which has been set before us. But he doesn't leave it at that, but he adds, look at the author and the finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he could have been happy, he suffered on the cross and was not obedient to ridicule. And now he sits on the right hand of God the Father, at the seat of the Father. This is a picture that we have. This is the Redeemer that we have, as we sang in the opening in the hymn. He is the Redeemer of the children of God, who has carried our sins and our Lord burdens and even our pain and our tribulations. And he has only one goal, that he could carry the burdens of all people. And that is the reason why the children of God arrange services which are announced to everyone. And that is why the children of God want to bring this message forth even in their discussions, even though at many times we are like Peter, that we fear and we quietly and fearfully say what we believe and why we are children of God and how we believe. In this very brief summarized verse, we were told everything. Here also was taken into account the large and the small. The sermon of the Word of God makes no differentiation. It is not focused only on elders or adults or young people or children, but it is addressed to all. The same sermon in this time. The life of children and the enticements that this world brings, even small children, have to put up with it. Many kinds of matters. And we as parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts are obligated to act in such a way. Like Miriam, Moses' sister, who watched over Moses so that nothing bad would happen to him. When in the midst of this time, we are living this matter, especially comes to mind that, oh, if we only always could preserve that desire to hear the Word of God, so we would not get the feeling. I know this. And I have my own understanding about these matters of faith, and I stand behind it. But as we heard yesterday, that only by hearing and believing, as in the book, the letter to the Romans, it is read, it is said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the service behavior and custom comes forth in this letter by Paul. How can they hear if they are not preached to? And how can they preach if they are not sent? And he repeats, and so he repeats, faith comes by hearing. And I have in mind, in the midst of this time, and I wanted to choose this text because many young families live in the midst of temptations and trials. It seems sometimes that their faith is ending. Their belief that God is the Creator, that He gives life. And the brother's sermons we heard, that He also is the Lord of death. And even Moses says, there is no God alongside of me. I give death and I give life. I strike and I heal. If only we and you young families could only, young families who bear children, believe in God. Believe in God, the Creator. Do not follow the teachings of this world and the enemy of the soul. It is God who gives life. And He is such a good God that He has promised to take care, as it is said in this text, that the Lord shall judge His people. And may the situation of even us individual believers, no matter what it is, then He also protects you. And it's also said, and I want to bring up young people, that what is your power? It is the same. John writes in his epistle, that already 2,000 years ago, he remembered the youth when he wrote, "I write to you, young people, you are strong, and you have been victorious over evil, for the word of God remains in you." In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul instructs about these weapons of war, which all of our of this war in which all us children of God are battling. We do not have a battle against flesh and blood, but against the enemy of the soul, and even today we have been reminded about these weapons. But I will bring up the shield of faith, with which we protect ourselves against the attacks of the devil. This shield of faith is a defense weapon which we can lift up and use it to place these questions in the correct, give them the correct value. And this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, regardless, we children of God experience, like Paul wrote to the Corinthians, there were many kinds of mix-ups in the congregation of Corinth. When he sent his second letter there, a letter of consolation, there he also comforts us and gave these words, that you may be unknowing, you may have questions, but you are not hopeless. You always have this living hope, which is brought by faith. You can be in straits. Matters may come up, as we noticed in these prayers, requests for prayers, but you are not at a dead end. Then the Lord Jesus has always opened up the way, all the way to your destination. Sometimes matters come up that strike us to the ground, but we are not completely destroyed. And we can leave these services in Vasa with a message. And may this message also reach all hearers who are listening through the media. that here we have been promised that we can believe. And even now we can believe. All sins and temptations and doubts were given in the name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though it may have felt that these services have slipped by so quickly, especially for you who have been in doing work here and have been responsible for different things, you can also remain believing your sins and doubts forgiven in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the media, we have good connections. But the personal message is always the best. And at the end, I will talk about my father-in-law and the way that he brought service messages, service greetings to an old woman in the hospital. He greeted her with God's peace and then said that at the services they promised that we could believe, and then she blessed this sister. Bring these good greetings, this good message. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name, amen.